Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Hi, my name's Dan. You also heard Bonk there. Bonk.
I'm Bonk.
Across
I'm
the table.
Yes.
We host this podcast.
We do. We are known from time to time to host this podcast.
We do. And, you know, in our 80-something episodes we've done, coming up on 90 probably.
Wow.
One of our favorite things that we have found and watched mm-hmm. and discussed, mm-hmm. and also it seems to be a favorite from the audience of Panning the Stream, is My Hero Academia.
Oh, yes. It's a great anime. If you haven't watched it, then don't listen to this podcast because we're going to spoil stuff.
Yes, watching the show is a critical part of this. You should watch the show.
Yeah, and this is one of those shows that I would say definitely watch it because it's so good. And it would suck for you to have it spoiled like before you watch it just because you want to hear what we say about it.
Yeah, it's so this is season three that we're going to be doing here, and we're going to try to cover it by arcs. Mm-hmm. You see, anime, okay. A lot of things go into arcs. Mm-hmm. I have learned that. The Dragon Balls, the My Heroes, not so much Evangelion. That seemed to be kind of just like one big-ass crazy story.
Mm-hmm.
But My Hero definitely goes by the arc approach, right?
Yeah, there was one single arc. Unless you count all the individual angels as a... their own separate arc.
Evangelion, yeah.
I don't
mostly
know,
self-contained,
but I don't know
like
the
an
rules
episode.
Of that stuff. So.
We are not anime experts.
No. We're new to this.
We are new to anime. We like anime.
We do.
We've liked, I think, most of the animes we've watched. I don't think we've ever like just like hated one.
No. I think One Punch Man is the one that I would say like part of me wishes we gave more time to because it seems like it was an interesting premise.
Mm-hmm.
But also it's like... maybe that's one that we could just watch on our own time because it seems kind of like there's a formula there that like it would get redundant to talk about each episode.
And also maybe we watched that too early in our anime journey because mm-hmm. everyone says it's so referential towards like anime tropes and everything that maybe some stuff we weren't picking up on.
Yeah.
But we are not talking about One Punch Man here. We are talking about the first arc of season three of My Hero Academia. Was it Boku no Hero?
I don't know. Episodes 1 through 7.
Yes, episodes 1 through 7.
Or
you can find that on Hulu.
Yeah, whatever the numbers are on Hulu.
Oh, yeah, the Hulu numbers are weird. But it is the first 7 episodes. It is the Forest Training Arc. I read that on Fandom. That is the unofficial name of this arc. It's the first 7 episodes. I think you can also find it on Funimation. Listen, if you're listening to this, you have probably already heard or watched My Hero Academia. But if not, check it out on Hulu or wherever you find your favorite animes. So,
let's set the stage here. The kids are... have the summer off, right? They're off from school. But instead of indulging in all the, you know, frivolous things that kids would do during the summer, like lay around and play a lot of video games, which is pretty much what I did
mm-hmm.
in my summers.
Oh, yeah.
They go to this forest training camp.
They do. Before they get sent out there, we get a little bit of them, like, by the pool, like, hanging out with their classmates and everything. And I just really liked this one shot of, like, it showed everyone with, like, all this, like, definition and stuff, like, all the students. But then Minoru was just, like, a fleshy rectangle. I thought that was funny. I like it whenever they, like, eschew the normal animation style mm-hmm. and they show it in a weird way.
Yeah.
And I just like that he was just this fleshy little blob.
I feel like that's the only thing of note that happened in the first episode.
Yeah.
He was just reminiscing about what happened previously.
Yeah, and I remember there's, like, kind of a montage of everyone's abilities. And as soon as we started this, like, it's been months since we watched mm-hmm. My Hero. And it starts with, like, this guy, he's half hot, half cold. This guy's this. I'm like, oh, right, I fucking love this show.
This is awesome.
Awesome. I will say the new theme for this arc, not... huge on this theme.
No, I don't like it. Why don't they just give us the first theme back? The first theme from season one was the best theme song. I think one of my favorite anime theme songs ever. Like, it's right up there with Cruel Angel's Thesis.
Yeah.
So good. It was so catchy. Like, it would actually get stuck in my head even though I don't understand what's being said.
It gets stuck in my head even though it's the one we heard the longest time ago, and mm-hmm. I don't remember any of the ones that came more recently.
No.
I just distinctly remember that first theme song.
Yeah.
I'm always excited to hear the new one, but nothing has ever hit the way that first one did.
Yeah, the new one isn't grabbing me at all.
No, and I wonder if it's going to change once we move into new arcs. It seems mm-hmm. like every season we've had like a couple different themes, maybe.
There's too much talk of ideals in this theme song.
Ideals, and God, they've got the translation at the bottom there. The
yeah,
captions.
But ideals is like one word that they say in English that they keep saying over and over again.
Oh, yeah, yeah. By the way, I like in movies and shows when they do that. Like, we just saw Parasite, which we both liked a lot. Mm-hmm. And I liked how on the captioning, when they said something in English, it would be italicized.
Yes.
And I was just like, when it's like a random word or two or phrase in English.
Yeah, I love when the wife in that movie, Mrs. Park, she just looks at the one character and goes, I'm deadly serious.
Yeah.
In a
yeah.
situation that didn't warrant that much intensity.
Yep. Yeah, that movie's awesome.
So good.
But yeah, as you said, they are going to summer camp because it seems like there's some threats going on here. There are some villains afoot.
Yeah.
And so they need to kind of accelerate their quirk.
Yeah. I feel like summer school, summer camp, whatever. I never did summer camp, but I did do summer school in high school. You know, usually it's one of those deals where it's like if you fail out of class, you can retake it during the summer.
Right.
But I hated math and I wanted to get all the math requirement out of the way for high school. I knew I needed 3 years of it, so I was like, I'll just do 1 year during the summer.
Yeah, yeah.
So I could finish my sophomore year, and that was geometry. I'll never forget. I took geometry during the summer, and I loved geometry. Geometry was the best. But because I did so well in geometry, I was put in like the advanced calculus class, which I fucking sucked at.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I never. Do you ever do any summer school or anything like that? I did a lot in college too.
I was slacking behind so much on my coursework stuff in college that, like, you know, I graduated in 5.5 years with a film degree, which
oh
is a
my
long
God,
time.
That's crazy.
But I was on track for like more, so I did take a couple summer classes because I was living in Lawrence, I was staying in town, and so I remember I took some like film of the 60s and 70s class, and I remember I didn't really have much going on that summer, so I actually went to a few of those. So it was just like, show up once a week. Oh, no, that was every day, I think. And it's like show up at like 6:30 at night, watch Easy Rider or whatever, and then, I don't know, go home and or go out to the bars or something. It was easy. It was fun.
Yeah.
Just
most
watching
of the
movies.
Classes I would take were remote. But geez, 5.5 years of college, that's incredibly expensive. Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, weren't you? I don't know. That's bonkers.
Yeah. Yes. But I had friends there. I was reviewing video games. Lawrence was a good time.
Was part of you like, I want to stay in college so I don't have to like get out there and get a real job?
No, none of it was intentional. None of it was like, I'm going to prolong this unnecessarily. It's just, I didn't go to class and I didn't take many hours each semester. So it's just like, I was on a slow course to get out of there.
But why?
Why?
Why didn't you go to class? Why didn't you try to finish it?
I never really understood how it worked, like signing up for classes or what a credit hour meant or like how or when I was done with college. I just kind of signed up for classes. Like I would ask my teachers like, oh, what do I do here? Okay, sign up for this many. Okay, sure. I don't think I ever understood how college worked.
You didn't see like there wasn't based on your major like a list of required courses and then like, oh, you need to fulfill this type of class so you can choose from this, you know.
There definitely was. Like I remember it was like, okay, these are the non-electives. And then, oh, for this one, you can do either public speaking or philosophy. And so I knew some like broad strokes of that stuff.
Mm.
But overall, I mean, I'm sure the resources were there for me to learn it if I cared more, but I just didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
And so just due to my own like not paying attention to how it worked, that's why it took so long.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like take classes and decide I didn't want to go to it anymore and just never go, but also never go to Strong Hall and actually drop the class. So I would just like get an F at the end of the semester. And it's like, ah, shit, I guess that's on the GPA. And I have to do something else. Like it was a... I didn't do college right at all.
Yeah, you know, college really isn't for everyone.
No, no. I mean, it can help. It's good.
Well, for your social life, obviously, flourished in college. But, I mean, the concept of college, you know, is just – inherently, it's kind of like most of it is going to be a giant waste. And it is exorbitantly expensive for the amount of return that you can expect on most degrees.
Yeah.
You know, especially when, like, the average job now, like, just random entry-level – even part-time job requires a college degree.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, my college degree was, you know, it's essentially a requirement, but it's like not of any value.
Yeah, that's the only reason I wanted to get a degree anyway, was just to like, well, I'm going to need this if I want to get a good job, so
yeah.
I'll just do it. And I wasn't there to learn or anything. It's just like, you got to do it.
That's I feel like that's the case for a lot of people, but with many things, it's one of those deals where you just get back what you put into it. Like if you really apply yourself to learn everything, obviously you can benefit tremendously from college, but you know, I feel like, you know, especially when you consider most kids are like tasting independence for the first time, they're not necessarily going to have the drive, really. I mean, most kids, but are probably to some degree willing to apply themselves, but I'm sure many fall like susceptible to just like, okay, I don't have my parents around to bust my balls. I'm just going to take it easy and hang out with my friends, which honestly, your experience in college was probably just as valuable as from everything you tell me about what you did in college. It sounds like it was, despite the education stuff not really being of any value to you, it seems like the whole experience was...
Oh. Yeah, it's where I learned to write video game reviews. Yeah, and like, I was spending my time doing things that helped, but it just wasn't the actual schoolwork.
Right, and it all worked out.
It's all fine. It's great. Also, I think I'm one of like two or three people from my dorm floor that actually continued on college and didn't just get like burned out and, you know.
Yeah, at least you finished it, right? A lot of people just dropped out. But speaking of like older students, you know what I wonder? And I get that this show is focused on, you know, class 1A. But I'm curious that we never see any like elder classmen or higher ups, you know, higher older students, like senior class students, you know what I mean?
Because
I'd be curious about how powerful they are, you know?
Yeah, I feel like in previous seasons, we've seen stuff where like, oh, there's a fire drill and there's a ton of students walking through the hall. So we know it's a huge building, obviously. So there's other stuff going on there. But yeah, it does seem super laser focused on like this classroom.
Right.
But it's also impressive. Like there are so many students in that classroom and in class 1B and a ton of villains with an increasing roster in this season. And it's like, I feel like all these characters matter. You know,
totally.
Like I care about all these characters. They all have their, not just in that, like, oh, this is the person that does the tape arms or this is the person that is invisible. I feel like most of them have unique personality traits too, outside of their power.
Absolutely.
You know,
they give each character kind of their own time to shine.
Yeah.
But also kind of on that same note, I thought it was interesting when class, like the students from class 1B were talking about how like, oh, class 1A is so much more advanced and stuff. And it's like, because they keep having these confrontations with villains, and class 1B doesn't get that, so they don't have, you know, as much practice as class 1A. But it's interesting that they're kind of just acknowledging the fact that, like, okay, these are the quote-unquote chosen students.
Yeah, there's the A-team here.
Yeah, because otherwise it's just kind of like, well, why are these kids getting all the attention, right? Or succeeding and flourishing while the other ones aren't really noted too much. But
also, in the past, have we seen Class 1B's teacher who was like Mr. Vlad King?
I don't think so. I feel like I would have remembered him.
Yeah, they would say his name every once in a while. I was like, who the fuck is Vlad? Is this like a Dracula superhero?
He has blood control.
Sure.
He's like Scarlet from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah,
like
totally.
His blood can like crystallize and just be manipulated and be a weapon.
He's originally a fan rumor from previous seasons that they turned into canon. Yeah, totally. Speaking of new characters, so they get on a bus to go out to their forest training. And we meet the Wild Wild Pussycats.
Oh, yes.
Or at least half of them early on here. They're a wacky crew.
Do you want to know their names?
Yes, let's hear it.
Mandalay.
Mm-hmm.
Her quirk is telepath. She's the one that can, like, you know, say something that gets transmitted to everyone's brains. And there's this fun little, like, newsflash ditty that goes along with it.
Yeah,
Did you notice that?
Yeah, yeah. I understand what it is. It's like a telepathic, you know, thing. But the way they describe it is like, she can give advice to numerous people at once. And when they said that, I was like, well, can't anyone do that? Just get some people in a room and say, here's some advice.
I think that it's like the range is huge.
Yeah, like she can actually like speak to people's brains.
Yeah,
seems.
Right, so to their brains.
That's much more dramatic
that seems
than what...
You know, like a useful ability, maybe, and obviously it had its use in this situation, but I feel like in a lot of hero fights, that's not necessarily good, unless you want to, like, tell your hero ally, like, okay, like, secretly on the down low, like, okay, let's do this strategy.
Yeah, yeah.
But I feel like it wouldn't be particularly useful.
It's like the opposite of what women want. Where it's like, wasn't that where Mel Gibson is just, he's on receive, and she can transmit.
She can transmit.
She's the opposite of Mel Gibson from What Women Want.
But you know what? Even though a lot of, like, when it comes to the pros, even though they're, a lot of their quirks seem very specific, it seems like they do all have, like, a baseline fighting ability, like, just that they're able to just, you know, engage in close quarters combat and not be, like, completely useless.
Even, like, Minoru, who's just kind of a dipshit. Like, he at times will, like, throw his weird sticky balls and, like, actually, like, oh, we can jump off these things.
No, he was very useful in that one contest thing where he had to... I forgot what the situation was.
Was that the one that... Was that the... was it the USJ? Was that when he threw all the sticky balls?
Yeah.
And there was the whirlpool with Sue?
Yeah.
And he stuck the bad guys?
Well,
yeah.
And then there was another thing, too, when he... Do you remember...
He hopped off him, right?
Yeah, they have their use for sure.
Yeah, when he's not just, like... It's a scene where he's just, like, rubbing his boner against a fence because there are girls on the other side or whatever.
Yeah. So, okay, so the other wild, wild pussycat is Tiger. That's the dude who can stretch his body.
Yes.
And contort and just become, like, that dude from the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, the stretchy guy or Stretch Armstrong. Mm. What's the Fantastic Four guy? Mr. Incredible.
Isn't there a dude that's stretchy in the Fantastic Four?
There is. I think his name is like Mr. Wonder. No, that's Paul Orndorff. Who is God damn it. He's like Mr. Fantastic, I think. I think that's his name.
The namesake dude.
I think so. It's him and the Invisible Lady.
Gotta say, Mr. Fantastic, my expectations are high, and the fact that he's just a rubber man is kind of a letdown.
Yeah. Have you ever seen Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff?
No.
Good name. I mean, he's a talented dude, but I don't know. Mr. Wonderful kind of is a, you know, it's a big name to live up to.
Pixie Bob is the other Wild Wild Pussycat. She can manipulate Earth to the point where she can create these crazy Earth monsters that will attack the students as part of their training.
Yeah, these like dirt beasts that she basically puts in their way.
Which is pretty neat.
Yeah, yeah.
But Pixie Bob, Dan, I don't know if you know this, but Pixie and Bob are two styles of haircut.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, okay. Pixie Bob.
I think I have heard that.
I don't know if she... I don't remember if she actually has a pixie or a bob.
Didn't she just have a blonde ponytail or something?
Maybe. That could be that one. And then finally, there's Ragdoll, who she can... her quirk is essentially like Libra from Final Fantasy. She can like scan 100 people at a time and just determine what their quirk is, what their weaknesses are.
Okay.
And stuff like that.
The way they described it in the show, I was like, wait, is her quirk that she can just dox people? Where it's like, she can know anything about anyone, where they live and what they... like, that's kind of how I read that. So that's that's the four Wild Wild Pussycats. I think we just meet the two girls at the beginning here. And so they basically set up. And it's like, oh, you thought this was a rest area, but no, the training has started. You need to get all the way to this place or you're not going to get lunch if you're not there on time. And yeah, she throws a bunch of like dirt monsters and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's called the Beast Forest. And some cool scenes there where like all the cool students are fighting the beast while Minoru just pees his pants. Which, all right, yeah.
That's sounds good. About right. I kind of like Minoru because it's, I mean, obviously he's a total perv, but the way his character is like he's mainly useless, but then occasionally he'll be so useful and be like his ability will just be like clutch and come in at the last second and just save shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he too will get these heroic moments that are really awesome.
Yeah, and I would say he's comic relief, but also I think a lot of things can be really funny in this show.
Yeah.
Like, the show is really good at balancing silly, fun, weird stuff with, like, you know, actually pretty serious stuff, interesting messages.
Totally. I mean, there's, like, really dramatic stuff. Like, I remember Yayurozu was, like, struggling with her self-confidence in the last season.
Yeah, yeah.
There's really dramatic stuff like that. There's more, like, campy, crazy anime stuff that we're kind of used to at this point. But then there's so much levity, too. Like, genuinely funny moments, just weird moments. Like, you talk about animation style looking different at times, like that's always interesting and cool.
Yeah, or there's a part where it's like they're doing video game stuff with what is it, Nomura? Is he the main bad guy with the hand on his face? I think his name's Nomura.
I think it was Nomura or Timura or something.
The hand guy. The main villain that we've seen that is not All for One. Wait, I always get
one
mixed
for
up.
All.
No, One for All is the good
All
power.
For One.
All for One, I think, is the bad guy that we're not seeing a lot of. He's the Dr.
Claw.
Yeah, this
is the hands guy. He's got the hands that'll touch you and things will become crumbly. He's the head of the League of Villains.
Exactly, yeah. And at one point, he's kind of describing his plot and it just changes to like video game stuff where it's like, it's a turn-based thing. It's like an old school Final Fantasy, but then it's like, oh no, it's this more like kind of strategy, Fire Emblem type thing.
Yeah.
Like really cool shit like that. I love the way the show just is not beholden to any one thing.
How do you feel about him as the leader of the League of Villains? I feel like he's kind of bratty and... I feel like there are so many villains, and this show is the kind of show that would probably depict a villain having, like, kind of ideas or ideals that would conflict with what you would normally think of a villain ideals, like kind of gray or, okay, I see where he's coming from, but obviously this is the wrong way to do it. But he just seems like a bratty, like, short-minded kid, you know what
I mean? He seems selfish and bitter, and he just seems to hate the idea of heroes and wants to, like, just ruin the reputation and mystique about heroes, you know?
At least ninja, what was his name, the slashy guy?
Oh, Stain.
At least Stain, like, I feel like that's a perfect example of what I'm talking about.
He's like an anti-hero. He's like...
He feels like there's so many false heroes out there. But he was able to acknowledge that, like, oh, Deku's a real hero. All Might's a real hero.
He had a set of ideals and wasn't just, you know, motivated by hatred, it seemed. Yes. Like Nomura and Tamura. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But speaking of, like, you know, there's some really... a lot of levity in the show and also more serious stuff, we meet Coda. So he is just kind of like hanging around with Wild Wild Pussycats out there near the camp. He's a little boy. He's got horns on his hat.
Yeah.
And immediately upon meeting Deku, he just punches him in the nuts.
Right.
And I was like, all right, this kid, he's something. And we learn pretty quick that his parents, like, he hates heroes. He hates the idea of heroes. And it's because his parents were heroes. The water hoses? The water hose?
Water hose.
Yeah, maybe they were like a tag team.
They were like a hero duo.
Yeah, yeah. And so they were murdered by a villain a couple years ago. And so that's the basis of why he really right. does not like this whole thing.
In Coda's mind, he just thinks heroes are show-offs, you know, which, all right, you're a little kid. You don't know what's up.
And we're going to learn more about the specifics about who killed his parents and everything during this arc. But yeah, we learn once everyone gets to camp that they're like testing with like the ball throw. Like, let's see how far you can throw the baseball. Stuff they did in the past. And I think everyone expected it's going to be like, oh, we can throw it way farther now. We've trained. We've been through so much stuff. But it's actually, like, not impressive at all. Like, I think it's Bakugo throws it. And it's like, yeah, I think Aizawa says, your improvement has been, like, in technique and mental ability. Mm-hmm. But you haven't really improved the physical aspects of quirks. And so that's what they're really going to focus on. And just goes into one of my favorite fucking things in all of media. It's just training montage, with all these cool quirks. Mm-hmm. So it's like just like navel lasering into the sky, thrusting repeatedly, or just shooting a ton of tape off a mountain.
Right.
Todoroki's just doing like fire and ice over and over, or like using his fire to light grills. Yeah. And so like just tons of fun little gags and stuff like that tied to the quirks. For some reason, Bakugo can chop up food super fucking fast, which he's the blow-up guy. I wouldn't expect
that. The thing about Bakugo, he's like one of those guys that's super arrogant, like really cocky and mean, but he's actually really good at everything he does.
Yeah, he's
really good at chopping, really good at, you know, that one baseball game that he played in the last season. Or no, but that was at the movie that we saw. That was in the movie.
Two Heroes?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. He reminds me of kind of a Liquid Snake villain, where it's just like, he's an asshole, he sucks, but like, okay, he's pretty good when it comes down to it. So at one point here, they're all like kind of cooking and everything. That's why Todoroki was lighting the grills. And Deku wants to bring some curry to Coda on a cliff. Because he just kind of hides out on a cliff, basically. And that's where we learn more about the water hose heroes and all that stuff. Also, the other kids at this point are having a competition in the woods that's all about scaring each other into making the other ones piss their pants.
Right.
I don't think we saw any pants pissing here because things kind of go south pretty quick here.
I've never been so scared that I've peed my pants.
I've never been so scared that, like, that even seemed like a biological reaction.
I feel like if I really, really needed to pee, like it was already emergency levels.
Yeah, yeah.
And then someone scared me, I might have a moment of, like, just letting, like, if I had to pee to the point where I was just holding it and that's all I could do, and then someone made me jump, I could see then, like, okay. But
if I didn't need to pee and, like, I'm playing Resident Evil and, like, a hunter jumps out or something, I'm not going to, like, my bladder's not going to be flooded with urine.
That would be so inconvenient.
Yeah, I'm glad that's never happened.
Yeah, that would, like, every time I'm like, walking alone and I get scared by someone, then to just, like, urinate, that would suck.
Yeah, it's no good. Hopefully our bladders hold up as we age and that doesn't become a thing.
Yeah, like I got a new phone and I was trying to use like the Google Pay thing, like, you know, Apple Pay. I was trying to use it and I was like using it the same way I use Apple Pay, but it's slightly different with Google Pay. And I got so scared because I was like, oh, fuck, I don't have my debit card on me. It's going to be so embarrassing. We're going to have to leave my stuff because I can't pay.
No.
Imagine me just urinating in that moment. How confused the guy at Dwayne Reed would be.
Standing there at the 7-Eleven at Dwayne Reed, yeah. Just standing there, direct eye contact, urinating.
Peeing and then solemnly walking out because I can buy my hydrogen peroxide or whatever.
No. So around here, like when this pee pants competition is supposed to happen, one of my favorite things so far in the series happens and a bad guy squad shows up. I love a good bad guy squad. Mm-hmm. This is the Vanguard Action Squad, which is like a subsection of the League of Villains.
Right.
And I love these guys. So let me just, I kind of wrote down all of them. They kind of stagger. Is that the word for it? What's the word when it's like they introduce some and then it's a staggered introduction, right?
Yeah, well, that's some of them we meet along the way.
Yeah, and some of them we've seen before, like near the end of season two. So I'll run down a handful of them here. I don't know if this is all of them. So we got Dobby. He is the guy, his quirk is cremation. We've seen him before. He's got stitches all over his face and everything, and he can create like these blue flames.
Right.
Interesting character.
And he could also just turn himself into ash.
Yeah, he can just like melt into a puddle, basically. Yeah, he's pretty cool. We got Toga.
Oh, his theme song is really cool, too. It's like super metal.
Oh, I don't think I've noticed that. I should keep an ear out for that.
Yeah, Dobby's.
Okay. He seems like kind of the leader of this subgroup here.
Yes.
Which, by the way, the whole time, this is just reminding me of Foxhound, like, because in the first Metal Gear Solid, that opening cutscene when Colonel Campbell is just like, oh, Vulcan Raven, Psycho Mantis, Sniper Wolf. I just love a bunch of wacky bad guys in a weird squad together. So this is totally like My Hero's Foxhound, and I fucking love it.
We should keep a running tally. I feel like at least once an episode of Panning the Stream, you mentioned Metal Gear.
I think about Metal Gear Solid every single day. yes. So we got Toga. We've met her before. She's the girl that's got kind of these, she's got this like Alexa Bliss thing going on. And doesn't she have like the pigtails
or
something?
She's kind of dressed like a schoolgirl, like typical Japanese schoolgirl, except that she's kind of got these wild eyes.
And these fangs, kind of these canine teeth.
She has fangs, and she's very boy crazy, and she's obviously extremely unstable and just manic. Do you know her quirk? I can share it with you.
Her quirk, I just wrote down transform, but I didn't want to read too much more because I didn't want to risk spoilers. Mm. But I don't, have we seen the transform stuff?
I don't think we've seen it happen yet, but if she ingests someone else's blood, like that's why she was stealing people's blood or trying to get people's blood. She can transform into that person. I don't think she can copy their quirks, but she can like, you know, emulate their voice perfectly.
Oh, so she's a T-1000.
Yeah, she's, yeah, exactly.
Or I'm sorry, the Rev-9 now, if you want to be.
it's like a face-off, you know what I mean? Same voice. Hear my voice. Oh, yeah. I can eat a peach for hours. I can eat a peach for hours. I can eat a peach for hours.
Yes, okay. I totally understand now. Yeah. I guess we haven't seen that yet, but yeah, we did see some hints of like her like desperately wanting blood and like having these weird syringe hose things.
She was
and...
like, oh, you look so much cuter if you were bleeding.
Yeah, she's nuts. I think she's a cool character. We got Mr. Compress. His quirk is...
Why did you say it like that?
Mr. Compress? Is it Compress? Okay. And his quirk is Compress. And he's like a weird magician man.
He has like a Rorschach mask on. Like,
yeah, with a top hat and a like magician like peacoat thing or whatever. And
as far as I know, he just traps people in marbles, right?
Yeah, he compresses people. He like shrinks them down in marbles and talks about magic and misdirection and all that stuff and flies around with a cane. Like he's cool. I like him.
He's like the Capsule Corp made flesh.
Okay. Yes, absolutely. We've got Twice, and his quirk is doubled, and so he can like double things, including like people.
Yeah, that seems like a hugely useful quirk for a villain squad to have. Just duplicate your most powerful villain.
Yeah, and on more than one occasion, he does that with Dobby, where it's like, oh shit, Dobby's here fucking stuff up, and then it's like, even if you beat him, it's like, oh, nope, sorry, he turned into a puddle. That wasn't the real guy. He's still fine.
I wonder if there's some kind of drawback, like a finite amount of time. I'm sure there is.
Operates on a cooldown. he reminds me, I don't really know Deadpool outside of like trailers and stuff, but just his look and his just basic kind of wacky, like he reminds me of what I think Deadpool is.
Yeah. He reminded me a lot of Deadpool too. He would like kind of jump from like one tone to another tone, like being really happy and then being really angry.
Yeah, I think it might be a split personality thing to go with the double.
Oh yeah, quirk. That makes sense.
Yeah. Okay, we've got Spinner, who's one of my favorites here. His quirk is Gecko, which basically just means he's a fucking gecko. That's the quirk, but I think that buries the lead, because the coolest thing about him is that his weapon is just like a billion swords just in a big-ass bundle that he swings around.
It's all like taped together.
Yeah, and he spins them around and stuff. It's awesome. It's like the throne from Game of... It's like the Iron Throne if it was just like... You just crushed it all into one big thing. Right. You could swing around.
And he seems to really idolize Stain because he's wearing Stain's mask and everything.
Yes.
And he doesn't want to hurt Deku because, you know, Stain like regarded Deku as like a legit hero and stuff.
Yeah. He reminded me of like a Ninja Turtles bad guy from the cartoon. And I'm just way into Spinner. I think he's great. We've got Magna. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. So he's the dopey guy with sunglasses, the like criminal. Mm. And I guess he can do magnet stuff and pull things towards him. That we didn't see a whole lot of that in this set of episodes here, but that's apparently his thing. Moonfish. This is this Voldo motherfucker that's a death row escapee, and he has got the most horrifying fucking quirk I've seen in the show.
Yeah.
Blade Tooth, which makes his teeth enlarge and like turn into blades.
Yeah.
And he could like not just enlarge, like they turn into these giant, crazy spider leg
swords. They could shoot out of his mouth.
Yeah, and he can like walk around and shoot these like blade teeth out. It's just very unpleasant to look at. And he even looks, it's like this weird gimp thing with like these weird mouth that's exposed and. Very freaky villain.
Yeah.
I thought he was very interesting.
He's scary. I mean, he's a death row inmate, right?
Yes, so escapee. Yeah. And then Mustard, and his quirk is gas. And he's like a Hellgast from Killzone. He's got like one of those helmets on and everything. He's got guns and can make like sleep gas, basically. I think there might be a few more. I'm leaving one out for sure because he's kind of a big deal coming up.
Right.
But yeah, I am... way into the Vanguard Action Squad. Cool name. They're all different and cool and bad guys. And it's Can't say enough about the Vanguard Action Squad.
Yeah, I love Squad. I know the Beauty and the Beast unit gets a lot of hate, but that's why I love them. I thought it was so cool. Like, they each had their own unique abilities and like awesome armor gear and
stuff. Oh, and MGS4?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Can you go one podcast without bringing up fucking Metal Gear Solid?
I'm sorry.
Jesus. God, there are other games out there.
Yeah, I know.
Yes. No, I'm with you. Kojima was always good at making bad guy squads back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So the Vanguard Action Squad attacks the forest with poison gas.
Right. Catches the students completely off guard because the teachers didn't even tell All Might where they were training because they knew All Might's a target and they didn't want villains to find him.
Right.
So they are completely caught off guard.
Yeah. And because of that, this is actually probably the least we've seen All Might mm-hmm. throughout any of the episodes we've covered.
Yeah,
here.
That's a good point.
Yeah. We see him a little bit at the end and I think a little bit at the beginning, but the big stretch of the forest, we don't see him at all.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the biggest encounters here is this guy approaches Coda. So when Deku's up there with Coda after the curry and all that stuff, this huge dude with like a cloak over his body and head, and he's got like a knee pad for a face, shows up, and it turns out this guy's name is Muscular. And
why is he named Muscular?
Oh, well, the striation. Oh, God. He's very muscular. It's the muscle fibers are so defined that they break out of the skin.
Yeah, so he just looks like he's a skinned man.
Yeah, it is it's a hell of a look. I think it's a really cool character. He's got a false eye because he's the one that killed Coda's parents, and during the scuffle or whatever, he lost an eye.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, he's... Coda not thrilled about this guy showing up here.
Right.
And so his quirk, I guess it's called, is it called Power Up?
His muscles just get super huge and he's like crazy strong to the point where he can withstand a 100% Detroit smash.
Yes. And actually, I really like this moment for Coda here because Coda just throws a fucking rock at him,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that leads to a huge fight between Muscular and Deku. And I love this fight. It's a lot of Muscular no-selling everything mm-hmm. and Deku just throwing everything at him and nothing's working. And just the way Muscular moves and attacks and everything, it's a lot of like weird flowy like muscle fibers and stuff.
Yeah.
He's one of the cooler villains
I've
seen.
It's like just a tornado of muscle fibers.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild.
Yeah, and he screams stuff like, show me your blood! It's like, okay, this dude is fucking awesome. At one point, Deku does do a 1,000,000% Detroit smash and all this full power stuff and knocks Muscular into a cliff and incapacitates him. So he's knocked out.
But meanwhile, it comes at the expense of Deku just completely wiping his body out. Both his arms are broken.
Yeah, so he's like running with like his arms flapping and he has to like, at one point, I think Coda almost falls off a cliff and Deku has to like catch him with his mouth, basically. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they're basically trying to get back to the other people and figure out what's going on.
After witnessing Deku's selflessness in trying to protect Coda, he kind of turns around as far as his opinion of heroes goes, and he realizes, like, oh, heroes aren't bad. You know?
Yeah, and just kind of seeing the selflessness that Deku showed there. Yeah, yeah. And we learn, too, I think it's because Muscular is talking about this. I think he mentions that they're after Bakugo.
Right.
So that is the core reason that they are attacking the forest, is that the Vanguard Action Squad wants to kidnap Bakugo. And at this point, since I think it was Muscular saying it, I was wondering if Muscular was his dad. because they kind of have similar like hairstyles and things like that.
You mean Coda and Muscular?
Muscular. No, I was wondering if Muscular was Bakugo's dad.
Oh.
But no. Haven't we seen... I don't know if we've seen anything about Bakugo's parents. But, like, they just kind of look similar. Now that I'm done with the episodes in the arc, I don't think so. No. I think they just see Bakugo has some evil traits within him. Mm-hmm. And, like, they could probably easily turn him. And he's powerful.
Plus, their Muscular's quirk and Bakugo's quirk are so different. And they seem to suggest that quirks are, like, somewhat genetically, like, can be passed down.
That's right. Because Todoroki's parents are very directly fire and ice. Mm-hmm. And, like, Coda's parents. Coda can do some, like, water stuff. So, yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So that's probably not the case. But for a little bit, I was wondering. Mm-hmm. There's kind of a little confrontation in the woods between Mustard, the hell gas guy, and Tetsu Tetsu. So it's like...
Tetsu 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 Tetsu.
Yes, yes. So Mustard shoots a bullet. He's just got like an old-timey World War I pistol or whatever, and he shoots at Tetsu Tetsu. And he like hardens up, and the bullet bounces off. So I was wondering, like, can he always be hard? Like, if someone shot him... Like, okay, let me put this in a different way. Let's just say Tetsu Tetsu was asleep. And, mm-hmm. you know, he's not in his, like, fully formed, like, hard mode or whatever. Mm-hmm. And somebody just shot him. Would the bullet go... like, is he always hard, basically? Is Tetsu Tetsu always hard? Or does he have to, like, oh, shit, I'm going to get shot. I need to activate my hardness.
Is Tetsu Tetsu always hard? That is the question.
Yes.
Let us know.
Yes, is he? Like, if you shot him without him knowing it was coming, would the bullet go into him? Or would it just bounce off? I think he has to activate the hardness. Right?
I think so. I mean, it's obvious that he can't be hard all the time because his hardness was wearing off the more he got shot.
Yeah, and it's definitely like quirks seem to like take things out of the people.
By the way, Mustard brings out a gun, right? Mm-hmm. How come villains don't do that shit all the time? Like, I totally forgot about guns. Like, just fucking carry guns and you don't have to worry about the heroes.
You don't have to turn your teeth into swords.
Yeah, yeah. Just guns.
Yeah, just shoot the guys. Yeah. So Kendo, who we don't see a whole lot of, she's the girl with the giant hands.
That's her gimmick,
yep,
big hands.
Big hands, Kendo. She kind of waves a bunch of the gas away, and then Tetsu Tetsu breaks Mustard's mask and mm-hmm. knocks him out. And so he kind of chokes on his own gas and is incapacitated here. And then we get into a big moonfish scene where he's just barfing these like razor lightning bolts all over everyone. Right. Unpleasant. And that's where we kind of learn about Tokoyami's dark shadow. He's kind of been hinting at it for several episodes before this, about like, oh, shit, it's dark.
What was it, revelry in the dark or something?
Something very dramatic. Yeah, yeah. And so we find out that it's like, it becomes really strong and unpredictable in the dark. And it's like, I guess Tokoyami always has to be like forcing it down mm-hmm. and like fighting it. And it just kind of goes nuts here. So it just overtakes him.
Right.
He doesn't seem to have any control over this giant dark shadow.
It's weak to the light. So during the daytime, it's not going to be as powerful and it's easy to control. But at nighttime, I guess it feeds off the darkness. And
yeah.
It's like, it seems like it could be like hugely powerful. But
yeah.
Tokoyami can't control it when it's that powerful. So Dark Shadow would attack his allies and stuff.
Yeah, so he has to just kind of use it in like controlled bursts when he wants to use it and have control
right.
over it. Yeah.
So Dark Shadow is kind of threatening at this point. Threatening to Shoji and Deku, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Shoji and Deku find a pretty creative way to kind of guide Dark Shadow toward Moonfish, right?
Yeah, it's like, it's almost like one of those boss fights where mm-hmm. you need to like lure the boss to a certain thing to get him to attack another boss or something.
And they know too that Bakugo and Todoroki are there who, with their quirks, will be able to use the light to weaken him.
Totally, yeah. So that's what happens and it totally works. They lure Dark Shadow to Moonfish and Dark Shadow just fucks him right up,
mm-hmm.
Really just rampages through him. And then, yeah, everyone uses their quirks to kind of subdue him, bring him back to normal and everything. Thought that was pretty
cool.
Yeah,
that was cool.
Yep. Had a quick little fight between Ochako and Ochako? Ochako? How do you say it? Yororako?
Ochako.
She has two names and I can't pronounce either
of them.
They
all have two names.
Yeah. Or some of them have like three. There's like Deku, Midoriya, but then like whenever you read things, it's like Izuku is usually what they say.
Yeah.
So it gets confusing.
Deku's...
We'll say Deku. Yeah. Yes. So Ochako... and Sue, the frog lady, go up against Toga, the blood girl. And so, yeah, we talked about some of that before, but like Ochako uses some fucking CQC that she learned from Gunface or whatever to slam Toga down.
Yeah, that was a cool callback.
Yeah, I like that.
I love that it's so obvious that they're building on their training. Like,
yeah.
They're clearly getting better and leveling up, you know what I mean?
Yeah. We haven't watched Monday Night Raw for a while now, but we'll watch WWE and mm-hmm. be like, none of this shit actually matters. Nothing ever calls back right. in a meaningful way to things from the past. It's just like, this is the opposite of that, where it's like, oh, right. they totally talked about this, like, you know, a season and a half ago, yeah. and it's coming into play now. And, totally. Like, Deku's growth and everything seems to all matter. Like, mm-hmm. this is just a masterfully written show.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah. So, yeah, they have their little thing here. That's where we learn that Toga is obsessed with Stain, and she accuses Ochako of being obsessed with Deku, things like that.
Yeah.
And this is where we learn that Mr. Compress has stolen Bakugo and Tokoyami while everybody was kind of distracted with other things. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of a realization, like, oh shit, where are they?
Right.
And he's a magician, he uses misdirection and everything, and was able to turn them into marbles.
So it seems like they're specifically targeting students who they think their abilities would be really good for the villain stuff, which it makes sense, Dark Shadow, it makes sense why yes. they want Todoroki, and it makes sense why they want Bakugo, because obviously he has an enormously powerful quirk. And also, he kind of is a little villainous in a way.
Yeah. Like, he really makes sense. Like, he seemed like an easier get, like, to kind of turn to the dark side. Mm-hmm. They want to do, like, an Anakin thing with him. So he was the whole plan, but then I think they witnessed Dark Shadow, and they're like, that's pretty fucking cool. We could harness that.
Right. At this point, we see a Nomu is, like, running about. Dobby's Nomu is, and he's about to attack Yosetsu, who's in Class 1B, and his power is, like, he has that atomic fusion thing where he can fuse things together at the atomic level, and he's using that to carry Yayurozu, who is injured.
Right.
And they're about to get just walloped by this Nomu, but at the last second, the Nomu stops, and just he's called back to Dobby, and Dobby's his master, so he just goes back. But Yayurozu, quick thinking, creates, like, a tracking device, because she could just spit out anything she could think
it's
of.
Like a little button.
Yeah. And Yosetsu attaches it to him. So yes. that turns out to be really valuable in the next episode.
Yeah, Momo is pretty awesome.
She's great. I liked her so much after that that thing from the last season where she was like, because I could just so much relate to that, where it's like, I'm not going to be able to pull this off. You know, you just beat yourself up so much in the last minute. You could prove to yourself that you could actually do something. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And for her to be like a relatively not minor character, but definitely not one of the like highlight main characters of the show, to have these moments of like real character development with even kind of these more side characters. Yeah. I think the show does so well.
Yeah, totally. And her whole thing too is that she's like, she came to UA on recommendation. She's really smart.
Yeah.
And the fact that, like, she came up with that on the spot, like, it actually makes sense because she's really smart. Like, it's like they don't just throw that out there. Like, she actually makes smart choices.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yep. And near the end of the stretch of episodes here, Deku's group gets attacked by pretty much the whole Vanguard mm-hmm. action squad. And, we see the marbles. We see that Mr. Compress has the marbles, and he made some fake ones, basically. And did who snagged them?
Shoji.
Shoji snagged the fake ones, but then he's like, nope, it's in my mouth. And he, like, took the mask away. And then Dick Laser shoots a Dick Laser and breaks the mask, right. and the real ones come out. And the Warp Dude shows up. Warp Gate, Warp Drive, whatever the hell that guy's name is, to kind of, like, take everyone back. And, like, mm-hmm. okay, we got Bakugo. Let's get the fuck out of here. But then the marbles get loose, and they're able to get Tokoyami
right.
free. But they're like, fuck it, we're here to get Bakugo, let's just take him through the
right.
warp portal.
And they're able to get away with them.
Yeah, so, like, ultimately, it is definitely, like, a bad guy victory, mm-hmm. I think, in this arc. I mean, they lost or incapacitated. We've got Muscular, Moonfish, and Mustard.
Mm-hmm.
I think Muscular was getting arrested. The other two were, like, knocked out. But there are, like, a ton of injured and missing people from the good guy team.
Right.
I think, is it Ragdoll has disappeared.
Yeah.
And lots of them are injured. Like, Deku is hurt. Momo's hurt and in the hospital. See some scenes of, you know, all the students kind of like, wow, what do we do? We got to get Bakugo mm-hmm. back. I think it was, is it Ida that is like, no, leave this to the professionals. This isn't our deal.
Right.
And then one of the hard boys is like, no, fuck this. We got to do this. You
Kirishima.
Know? Yes, yes.
Kirishima and Todoroki are going to try to save Bakugo.
Yeah, yeah. Which, I mean, I love that we looked up the arcs, because, like, it does seem like this is a natural thing. Like, okay, that's
totally.
The next thing. We're all out of camp, and we got to save Bakugo.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of teases of, like, you know, Dog Principal talking about how, oh, this looks really bad for UA. And, like, basically the League of Villains' goal of, like, making people doubt heroes is working. Because, like,
right.
we're seeing these kind of news reports and stuff. Like, oh, can we really send our kids to this place? Like, they, you know, they're getting kidnapped. It's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
So the bad guys kind of have the upper hand at the end of this arc.
And they refer to the tracking device that Yayurozu placed on the Nomu, because I guess they're going to use that to try to figure out their location.
Totally.
Yeah. But yeah, that was a great arc.
It was. And there's a tease, too, that there's probably a traitor at UA, considering that they knew, you know, where to go.
Mm-hmm.
But man, yeah, the show, we mentioned earlier off mic that, like, every one of these arcs has been good.
It's all been good. And you know what it is, too? It's not like every arc is always like them against the villains. Sometimes it's them just competing against each other.
Yeah. The sports festival is one of my favorite arcs. Yeah, and that's just awesome. Them doing it, like no big crazy thing there or anything. I'm trying to think what other arcs. I mean, the USJ arc, that was definitely like the first appearance.
There was the intern stuff.
And the intern stuff is super fun, too. Like meeting all these different experts and heroes and stuff like that.
Every single part of the show I just love. I love watching it. I always look forward to it. Yeah. I'm glad we're covering it again. I'm excited to watch the rest of it.
Yeah. Like, I think if it wasn't for the way that, first of all, if it wasn't for the podcast, we probably would have never watched this show. Right. But also, if it wasn't for the podcast, we probably would have rolled right into season three after we were done with season two. But it's like, you know, we want to have variety in the podcast and not just do anime stuff. So we wanted to do some other stuff. But we're very, very glad to be back here covering My Hero.
Totally.
And we will continue through season three. I've heard this is a real great season, front to back. I know season four is, I think, airing right now. And it looks like the subtitled versions are on Hulu. Obviously, at some point, we will get to that. But, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. So, yeah. Big old thumbs up.
Just big old thumbs up.
I feel like after every episode, we look at each other and we're like, this show's really good. Yeah. This is a good show.
Yeah. There's a lot of times where it's like, let's just do one episode. Then after, we're like, we could do it one more.
And it fucking moves.
Yeah.
Like, every episode. I know they're like 24 minutes long or whatever, but it's just like, oh, okay, it's over.
Yeah.
Like, a ton of stuff happens.
I wonder how faithful the show is to the manga.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know, because like I'm reading like some recaps and stuff just when I'm getting my notes together, and it doesn't specify whether it's the manga or the show, and so maybe it's just like super closely. I don't know enough about manga and anime to know if it's just like traditionally very, very closely adhering to the source material.
Right.
Because obviously, like, you know, if you look at something like a book turning into a Hollywood movie, that is frequently just a completely different fucking thing. So I don't know, but I can speak for the show and say that that is excellent.
It's great. I recommend it to all.
Yes. So we will keep rolling with that if you're liking the My Hero
keep
Academia.
Rolling.
As a wise man once said. Also, with us wrapping up this episode, I want to thank, we both want to thank everyone of our patrons.
Thank you, patrons.
Thank you. On
We salute you.
We salute you at patreon.com/paintingthestream. So that's our little Patreon we do. Simple little thing. It's $5 a month. You get ad-free version of the podcast. You know, we've got the Patreon page there, so if you want to comment on stuff, we go in there. We can talk to you. But yeah, every week you get an ad-free version of the podcast. Sometimes I put that up a day early, so, you know, that'll happen from time to time as well. But also, one thing you're guaranteed is you're definitely going to get a Bonku.
Oh, you're going to get it.
From old Bonk. That'll be sent to you on Patreon. And also, we read one every episode. And Bonk, do we have a new patron this week?
We sure do, Dan. Well, actually, this isn't a new patron. Deebs, our friend Deebs, has supported us numerous times in the past.
Yes.
And we are enormously grateful for continued support. Obviously, it's great for the obvious reasons, but just knowing that, you know, we have this fan out there who's been listening for a really long time, it's just pretty fucking awesome.
It's really cool.
So Deebs, this one's for you, bro. I gave Deebs the key, wished him well on his journey, and waited for death.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Jeez. A lot to think about with that one.
A lot to wrap your mind around.
Well, that's for Deebs to figure out.
That's for you, bud. It's in your hands now.
Thank you, Deebs. Thank you, Bonk, for that great Bonku.
Of course.
And if any of you folks out there, patron or no, you can let us know at paintingthestream@gmail.com. If you got any feedback, suggestions, anything like that, you can follow us at PanTheStream on Twitter. And I'll link to the new episodes there. I'll let you know what we're going to watch the next week in case you want to watch along with us. But I want to thank Tom Manda for
Thanks,
the theme
bro.
Song. I want to thank you, Bonk.
Oh, thank you, Donk.
Yes, and Razor, just top-notch, bud.
Oh,
no weird scratching.
He's getting a treat, for sure.
I think it's a two-treater.
You think it's two-treater?
I think it's a two-treater.
He was so good.
He was great. He's looking back and forth feverishly between us right now because he knows what's coming next. But for you at home, you know what's coming next, too. We'll be back next week with some more My Hero Academia. And until then, we'll see ya.
Bye, guys.